Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world.
The light no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us now, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness. May God be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us sing our thanks to God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Creator of the universe. From old you have led your people by night and day. May the light of your Christ make our darkness bright, for your word and your presence are the light of our pathways. And you are the light and life of all creation. Amen.
My prayer rise up, my kisses before.
May our prayers come before you, O God, as incense. And may your presence surround and fill us, so that in union with all creation, we might sing your praise and your love in our lives. Amen. A reading from Matthew. When they reached Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" He said, "Yes, he does." And when he came home, Jesus spoke of it first, asking, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tribute? From their children or from others?" When Peter said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the children are free. However, so that we do not give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook. Take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a coin. Take that and give it to them for you and for me." The word of the Lord. A man dialed his phone to reach the Red Cross, but instead he got the IRS. The IRS operator asked him what number he had dialed, and he said, "The Red Cross, you know, where they take the blood." The IRS operator said, "Well, that's not who we are, but you're pretty close." No one likes to pay taxes. And that's not new with our generation. It goes back a long, long way. And there are stories about overburdened taxpayers throughout the Bible. And our story tonight tells us a bit about a complicated tax code operating in the time of Jesus. It was called the temple tax. Originally based on a passage out of the book of Nehemiah, the rule was that every man was supposed to pay one-third of a shekel in order to support the priests serving in the temple. But it's important to note that this was a voluntary payment. You didn't have to do it. However, it wasn't long before that was increased to half a shekel and based on a passage in Exodus. The rich and the poor alike were to pay a half shekel. And just like we do with our IRS code now, there was fierce debate about whether that half shekel was to be paid every year or just once throughout your life. But the Pharisees were convinced it was to be paid every year, and every male Jew, no matter where he was in the world, owed this tax. And then we have this little story about Jesus, Peter, and a fish with a coin in its mouth. Some come to Peter and say, "Your master does pay the temple tax, doesn't he?" And the implication is clear. Either Jesus supported the customs of the day, or Jesus was being subversive and dangerous. So Peter asked Jesus, and in the end, Jesus sends him out to fish, telling him that the first fish he caught would have a coin in its mouth. It's enough to make you want to take up fishing, isn't it? But what do we make of this odd little story? The interesting thing is, it's not about paying taxes at all. Rather, this is a story about how to live as the family of God together. Jesus uses a little metaphor, asking if a king demands taxes from his own children or whether he gets them from other people. And of course, the answer is from other people. And Jesus' point is that God, just like that, doesn't place a tax on his children. God's grace is free, and we are the free children of God. But Jesus' affirmation of our freedom in Christ comes also with a caution. You are free from that kind of thing, he says. But so that we don't put a stumbling block in front of someone else's faith, Peter, I need you to go fishing. You see, what this miracle is really about is the proper use of Christian freedom. The Greek word used in the text is skandalizo, and it leads to our word scandal. Scholar Douglas A. Hare explains it clearly. Jesus' followers are advised not to give unnecessary offense on secondary issues where principles of faith are not involved and compromise is possible. The children of God are free, he continues, but that freedom is subject to restriction for the sake of the brothers and sisters in the church as well as those outside of it. Maybe a simple, silly illustration can help. Sometimes my weeks are pretty busy, and there have been times when the only opportunity left to me to cut the grass in my yard is on Sunday. Now, traditionally, Sunday is the day when you aren't supposed to do any work, and yet my grass will need cutting, and that's the only time I have. But my neighbors know I'm a pastor. Now, I feel perfectly free to cut my grass, and it's entirely possible that my neighbors might not have a problem with it either. But here's the thing. I don't know that. It's possible that some could say, look, that pastor isn't even following the Bible. And I don't want my doing something, even something as harmless as cutting the grass, to stand in the way of someone else and their faith. Now, I know that's a silly illustration, but you get the idea of what Jesus is talking about here. We are free. But the governing principle of our freedom is our love and our concern for others. So we guess Peter went fishing. And perhaps he learned what we are all called to do as God's children. Live together in love. The light shines in the darkness,
and the darkness has not overcome it.
An angel went from God to a town called Nazareth to a woman whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, rejoice, O highly favored, for God is with you. You shall bear a child, and his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High. And Mary said, I am the servant of my God. I live to do your will. Living God, we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Hear now our prayers as we fall on your mercy and grace. God of all, with wonderful diversity of languages and cultures, you created all people in your image. Free us from prejudice and fear, that we may see your face in the faces of people around the world. Lord, in your mercy. God of compassion, whose Son became poor for our sake, help us to see the face of Christ in those who are poor, in serving them to serve you. Give us generous hearts so that those living in poverty may have adequate food, clothing, and shelter. By your Spirit, move us to affirm the dignity of all people, and especially the most vulnerable in society. Lord, in your mercy. Triune God, whose will it is that humans live in community, bless family life everywhere and fill all homes with respect, joy, laughter, and prayer. Strengthen the commitment of husbands and wives to one another, that they may mirror your covenant faithfulness. Pour out your Spirit on parents, that through them their children may taste your unconditional love. Empower all family members to live in your grace and forgiveness. Give to those who live alone peace and contentment in their solitude, hope and fulfillment in their love of you, and joy and companionship in their relations with others. In this time of isolation, fill our lives with you. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, your healing power is everywhere about us. Strengthen those who work among the sick. Give them courage and confidence in all they do. Encourage them when their efforts seem futile or when death prevails. Increase their trust in your power, even to overcome death and pain and crying. May they be thankful for every sign of health you give, and humble before the mystery of your healing grace. In the midst of this pandemic, bring healing, help, strength, and the comfort that comes only from you. Lord, in your mercy. Hear O God of mercy and love, we pray for particular needs from those in our family of faith. We pray for Erna Adderholt, for Mel Amundson, for Mabel Trexler, for Bob and Eva Wilbur, for Bill and Bonnie Schneider, for Paul Boddy, for Jackie All, for Jim Kaiser, for Phyllis Yeoman, and for Helen Sands. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty and eternal God, so draw our hearts to you, so guide our minds, so fill our imaginations, so control our wills, that we may be wholly yours, utterly dedicated unto you, and then lead us to act always to your glory and the welfare of your people. Lord, in your mercy. Great and merciful God, source and ground of all goodness and life, give to your people the peace that passes all understanding and the will to live your gospel of mercy and justice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God, remember us in your love and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless our God.
We send thanks to you.
May God, Creator, bless us and keep us. May Christ be ever light for our lives. May the Spirit of love be our guide and path for all of our days.